Hi there, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. The doors are open. I was thinking about change today, making a change, and you know, we don't like to change. Change doesn't come easily, but and I've heard it said the only one that likes it to be changed is a baby. And even they don't like it all that much. But what are triggers to change? Maybe you know today you're thinking about it, and you know there's some changes you need to make in your finances and your health and your work, maybe in your relationship with Christ or your relationship in your marriage. What are some of the triggers to change? And maybe you've made that one change in your life, and what difference has it made? Talking about change today, much encouragement. You ready? This is Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open just for you. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your faith, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We think about change. Change is moving from where you are today to something different tomorrow. It may be in your finances. Maybe you've said, hey, enough of this being in debt. I decide we're going to get out of debt. We're going to honor God with our money. We're going to set a plan. Maybe you started down that path. Maybe it's with your health. You've awakened to the reality that things need to change with your health or maybe work. And there's triggers. There's only really two things that come down to being intentional with your change that I have seen over the years. You're either like Jonah and you got in the belly of the big fish in life, right? You've fallen into a proverbial pit of some sort. Maybe of your own making, maybe not, but there you are, and it's a crisis that you're in, a health crisis, a financial crisis, a marriage crisis, and you have to change. You know, you don't really have any choice. If you want to, quote, survive here, you want to keep going and you want life to be okay, you have to wake up and say, I'm in this crisis. I got to make a change. Or you have an opportunity to change. That's the other option. You know, there's something in your life and you look at and you say, I just realized that there's something better, a better direction, something to honor Christ, and I just need to change. I want to change. So there's a want to and a have to. The have to part, where you don't have a lot of choice. I suppose you could just sit there and be stuck, but maybe that's where you are now. You've just chosen to be stuck. But you're in a crisis of some sort. Or the other is that you want to change. And I think of Nehemiah. You know, you look at Nehemiah, he had a problem to solve. You know, he heard the story of the walls being broken down in Jerusalem. He didn't have to go do anything. I mean, he didn't have to. God was prompting him and moving in his heart, but it wasn't a personal crisis. He was okay. He was there in the palace. Life was probably fairly good for him. And yet God gave him an opportunity to change, to do something different. In his case, his career, his life, and his mission. And so I'd ask you, what one change have you made in your life? And why? And what difference has it made? Or maybe you're feeling stuck today, and this program is going to be that proverbial kick on the backside that says, hey, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee or the rose or whatever and say, something's got to change here. 888-888-1717 is my number. We'd love to have you come and join in the program today, 888-888-1717. If you feel stuck, or maybe you've made some changes in your life and you want to shout them out to the rooftop there and say, hey, God got a hold of me, made some changes, and I want to give him the credit for it. Okay? That's what we want to talk about today. 888-888-1717 is the number. I'm Randy Carlson, and this is Intentional Living.
Hi, this is Jason, and I just wanted to start with, this past year, I mean, I'm in high school still, and I started changing, the way I've been living, and I wasn't really a good kid my freshman and sophomore year. Then I started opening my eyes and reading the Bible. My dad was always there to over my shoulder to push me and tell me to do right, you know. I was in the rebellious stage, but now, I've been praying, and I've been reading the Bible, and everything in my life is starting to change. Everything is opening up to me. And I can see things way more clear than I have in the past. And I'm trying to reach out to my friends. But the friends that I'm hanging out with aren't very good kids. I really would like help with that and some advice on how to become a better Christian.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you, Jason, for that call. You know, when we think about being a better Christian, I mean, we either are or we aren't. We're either a follower of Christ or we're not. But I hear your heart there. How do you grow? How do you grow? You just gave yourself the answer, partly. You're hanging around with the wrong people. Well, how do you change? Don't hang around with those people. You can love them, but you're going to have to cut the ties and develop new friendships, new influence. We become like the people we hang around with. You know, spiritual growth is not rocket science. It's not as though there's a genetic predisposition for some people to be more spiritual in their walk with Christ than somebody else. It wasn't that they were born on the right side of the tracks or they had the right ancestry or whatever. If they're a follower of Christ, we can be as spiritual as we choose to be. We can be as close to God as we choose to be by filling our hearts with the truth, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us every day, as the scripture says. Paul says in Ephesians 4 to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and do not sin. In other words, taking care of our emotions. And then he talks about our behavior, the things that we do. See? And so we can, you know, you and I have, as long as we still have breath, we can change. We can make a decision to change, to go in a new direction. We can do that. So you can join in. We've got lots of calls. The lines are busy. We'll get to the calls on the line here in just a moment as you call 888-888-1717. In what way has God led you to change in your life? Candace said on Facebook, this is totally happening right now. I've been content, and now things seem like they are all falling out of place. You ever been there? Like you're kind of moving along, and all of a sudden, wow, you know, the health thing and the finance thing and the marriage thing. And then she goes on to say, it's like God is telling me it's time to step out in faith and trust Him. James says on Facebook, to not be complacent as my family's spiritual leader and to step up, as he says, to be the priest in my home and to guide my family into His righteousness. That's a good reminder. So again, if you just joined us, we're talking about triggers to change. There's really only two things that I've seen in my work with people over the years that cause any of us to make a change. We either have a personal crisis, in other words, a have to, and you hear the call sometimes, you know, my marriage has fallen apart, or there's been an affair, or there's been a heart attack, or there's been a loss of a job, or whatever it may be, but there's this crisis that comes along in one of the five essential areas of life that sort of causes a necessity or necessitates a change, or for the person who wants to change. It really is one or the other. Okay, Renee's on the line. Welcome, Renee, to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Talk to me about change in your life.
Well, I had I battled an addiction to bulimia for over 20 years.
Wow.
And I had my daughter, and when I was pregnant with my daughter, my life started changing, and I stopped doing it. And then after she was born, I started doing it again. And I would just feel like I wanted to be alive for her.
So it was this sense of, I've got something bigger, more important than what's ever going on in my life.
Yeah. And I wanted to know that I would be alive to be able to teach her about having a relationship with Christ.
Good for you. So you really had a crisis and an opportunity, didn't you? Really? Both.
Yeah.
How are you doing now, Renee?
I just celebrated 4 years.
Good for you. What do you say to someone who's listening that has anorexia or bulimia and they're listening and maybe even having trouble identifying what it is for themselves? What do you tell them?
I would just tell them that there's a better way. I mean, I don't struggle with the weight. I feel like God delivered me of my battle for over 20 years. And, you know, I just gave it to Him and I said, please just take this away from me. And He did it. He just delivered me. One day I was just done. And I struggled for many, many, many years. I went to counseling. I've done a lot of things, and really, Jesus delivering me was the only thing that changed my life.
Boy, when it happens that way, it's extra special because He gets the glory for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Renee, thank you for calling.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And congratulations on your journey and also on, you know, finding relief there and God freeing you of that. Yeah, there's an example, though. Renee is an example of a person who had a crisis. She knew it, up and down, struggling with bulimia. And she also had an opportunity. She saw, I'm a mom now, and, you know, I want to be different. I want to be the kind of mom that my child needs. And then she turned the right direction, didn't she? She gave it to God. How about you? About changing your life? 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Andy. This is Rachel from Garfield, Kansas. A year ago, I was in a psychiatric hospital, and right now I'm going through a divorce. And I just want to say thanks, because some of the things that I've heard already today on the radio from couples that have been together for 19, 20 plus years has given me courage to move on. I'm supposed to be starting college here in a couple of weeks, and I really was scared at first, but you said something about do something to change your life, and I need to do something to not only change my life for now, but change my life for whenever I do. And I just really want to say thank you for all the encouragement that I've received just today. I haven't listened to your program before, and I just happened to turn it on. Just a blessing, and thank you, and God bless.
Hey, you're welcome, and thank you. I'm glad you're listening. Congratulations on your journey. Keep at it. Life is difficult. Life is hard. We know that. You know, you turn on the news today and you see what's going on around the world. I don't even know how to explain what's going on. And I think what happens is you turn on and you hear these political talk and you hear the, you know, all of the descriptions of things. We live in a very dangerous and troubling time. And I am convinced, and I love you guys. I love you as listeners. I know you tune in, and I've met so many of you around the country. My wife and I, as we've traveled, we love you. We want the best for you. And you need to be intentional, and we're passionate about this message. It's not a magical thing. God is an intentional God. He intentionally loves you, intentionally created you. He intentionally has a purpose for you, intentionally died and came back for you through his son Christ. He's coming back again, and he just asked for us to surrender to him completely, to allow the Holy Spirit to take center place in our life. And then, you know, it doesn't mean all the troubles go away. But every day we choose to get up and be intentional. That's why I wear this one thing wristband every day. And thousands do now around the country that we've given out to people at our conferences who just say, hey, today, one thing today. Life is so complicated. What one thing today can I do, should I do, stay focused on that'll draw me closer to Christ and honor him? Change. Margaret is on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
Appreciate your call. What brought you to a change, and what kind of change in your life?
Well, I had slipped away from the Lord and recently got sick. Hmm. And it was a long illness, and had to go on medical leave, and really, it really, really had a toll on me spiritually and physically, and I had to get back, you know, reading my prayer books and reading the Bible and putting complete trust and faith in God that, you know, it would get better, you know, financially, physically, spiritually. And I am slowly getting better and find myself close to God again, and I'm just grateful.
Been almost worth it, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm putting them first and remembering just to keep him first and keep him in your heart.
Hey, let me ask you, Margaret. You said about 6 months ago you started, you know, being sick. If everything had been hunky-dory and life was good, you weren't sick, and everything was peachy cream, as it were, where do you think you'd be today?
I would be at the same place I was, you know, months ago. Yeah. And after I got sick, I have always wanted to volunteer at our church. And this little bit of time that I've had being on medical leave from work, I have gone to the church and filled out the volunteer paperwork. So I'm excited about that. And that's something I don't think that I would have done. I wouldn't have not found the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it was for a reason. It was hard, but you know, I'm grateful for God.
Well, that's good. So yours was kind of a crisis brought you back. You chose to get close to the Lord and not reject. And we just pray you'll continue to get healthier and stay on that same course. Thank you for your call, Margaret.
Thank you, and thanks for your work.
Glad to be here, and thank you for listening. changes so far, a couple changes that were due to sort of a crisis in life. I think that's probably the bulk of the major changes in our life. There are some who just say, hey, you know, there's something better here that God has for me and in our marriage or whatever, and choose to go in a healthier path. But I'll tell you what, if you stop, if you miss those little warning signs along, there's like warning signs that come up in life. I was driving down the road here, and there was a traffic. Oh, no, there's going to be a big bike race here in Tucson. The El Tour de Tucson goes right by our office every Saturday, every year on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And it's going to be going right by the office. And there's a sign down here warning us, be careful because there are going to be thousands of bicyclists. Well, they put that out, so there's a warning, so you don't run into somebody. And I think God allows some of those warning signs to show up in our life, and we miss them. We blow right by them until it blows up in our face. Want to or have to? 888-888-1717, the power of being intentional about change.
A man there was, though some did count him mad, the more he cast away, the more he had.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
And I think you might be surprised when I tell you who made that statement. He was a man who spent 12 years in a crowded, disease-ridden prison cell, separated from his wife and children. Yet he could have been released at any time by making one simple promise. The man was John Bunyan. All they demanded was his pledge to refrain from preaching the gospel publicly. Bunyan's response, if I was out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow by the help of God. From his lonely cell, Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Now, what would you be willing to cast away so that you can become the radical steward God wants you to be? For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robinson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you joined our prayer community yet? You can find it at theintentionallife.com/prayer. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Randy, you've been talking about intentional discontent. Does that make you discontentional?
I have to think about that one, Kurt. Where does he come up with those things? Hey, listen, you know, I'll tell you what, though, when we talk about being intentional with our discontent, we know the Bible says to be content, right? I'm talking about a more of a holy kind of discontent that says, hey, I'm stuck, I need to change, something needs to be different in my life. And we have a process that we teach. It's called the Freedom Process for Change. I outline it in the series we're doing right now for marriage and parenting and so on for the monthly members. But basically, it's focusing on one goal that is God's intention for your life, repeating one habit for 30 days, eliminating one thing. I do a whole thing on eliminating clutter in your life, because here's what I believe. Unless you get rid of something in your life to make room for the better stuff, it won't work. And then enjoy and celebrate. And it's a process that works. It really does. Okay, calls are backing up here. Let's go. We got Mary on the line. Talking about change. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment?
Well, my struggle is I quit my job in September this year, and I really felt like the Lord was calling me.
Why did you quit?
Well, first of all, I've been there for 15 years, not just the same place, but I had been a CNA, Certified Nurse's Assistant, for 15 years, and my back had been really hurting from the physical work that you do there, and my arm and my shoulder were hurting, so I had prayed about it, and I really felt like the Lord was telling me to trust Him, which I did. I felt the door closed at work, so I quit my job, and I told my husband, and he says, hey, that's what I want to do. So we had a little business adventure, and we thought, well, we'll go on the road, and we'll just work town to town, you know, and just enjoy life and enjoy the Lord, you know, minister to people around the, along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband kind of got cold feet as we got in 3 weeks to it.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone to Dallas, and we had some family issues. We helped my mother put a floor in, and we helped do some stuff, and I really felt like we were called to help.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband started getting cold feet. He says, well, we can't step out. We have to pay these payments. We have to do this. I have to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed along with him, and when we got home, he went back to his old job, and I tried to, but it just didn't open for me, the doors.
Mm-hmm. So you're stuck.
And so, yeah, so yeah. I'm stuck. I'm
all right.
At home.
And you're wondering, what do we do now, right? Where do you go now?
Right. Yeah. I don't want to work because I really feel, really seriously feel it's physical. My
okay.
back hurts
right.
in my
arm. I understand. I understand. Well, Mary, let me share a couple things. And we have to always be discerning when it comes to making decisions, okay? And we've got to be really testing to make sure that we're, what we're hearing is really from God. And I never question what a person hears because I don't know. That's between them and the Lord. But I do know that God is not an author of confusion. Whenever I hear someone that comes along and says, you know, we've done this and this and this, and, you know, and there's not a sense of peace, or there's not a sense of I'm in the right place, then you have to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm not listening clearly. Or maybe I need to stop and spend a little more time before we make a decision and get some more counsel. Here's what I encourage you to do, Mary, because it sounds like you and your husband are not totally on the same page. You had some ideas, but they didn't, you know, pan out. Your husband kind of changed what he wanted to do. You really don't want to go back to work. You got physical challenges, and those are all very legitimate. Here's what I would do if I were you, very practically. I would find a mentor in your life, a godly, mature woman or counselor, and maybe a career counselor, and just start the process. Say, God, over the next 30 days, 60 days, I'm just going to immerse myself before you, get good input. I pray you'll reveal to me clearly what you'd have me do next, and open up the windows of opportunity beyond what you were doing. Get outside the small box that we put ourselves in. God has maybe wonderful things for you to do. He has ideas and plans for you that you haven't even imagined yet. And sometimes talking to people outside of our own circle and getting input and counsel from godly people opens that door to our thinking and to the opportunities. And I think that's something I would encourage you to think about. Okay, Mary, thanks for your call. I hope that's a help.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name is Jenna, and over the past probably 6 months or so, I feel as though my life's been on a roller coaster, but I've really made an intentional effort to read the Bible every day, and even when times are tough and I don't really feel close to God, I make myself, and it just has revolutionized my life and my relationship with my husband and the Lord, and I just am so thankful for hearing your program. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I love that, Jenna, because what you did is you really followed the little outline that we use, the process of intentional living, by declaring your intention. You said, I'm on this roller coaster going up and down. I just declare the fact that I don't want this anymore. It's not what God has for me. This isn't the best way to live. And you frankly got mad enough. We live in a culture today. Come on, night. Turn on the news. People get mad and they lash out to people. It's other people. They blame other people. They blame everything going on around them. And Jenna said, hey, I'm going to get mad enough inside, and I'll tell you what that madness comes from, and I'm going to change my life. And she started reading the Bible, and she's grown. When I use the word mad, by the way, I come from the idea of the acrostic, using these letters, M-A-D, to change your mind. That's what Paul says to us in Ephesians. Change your attitude, and then change your decisions. And when you do that, M-A-D, your mind, your attitude, your decisions, you get what Jenna get. Do you hear what she said? Change my life. As simple as saying, I'm going to go in a new direction. That's what intentional living is all about. By the way, if you have a story to share with us how intentional living is impacting your life, tell us. Love to hear it. Just give us a call at 888-888-1717. What I want to do in this lesson, because we're talking about yes and no, these two out of 170,000 words in the dictionary that Jesus chose to take out and put before us to say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it means something. It should mean something to us, right? And in the intentionals, there's 10 things, very briefly, to help us make our yeses and our noes work for our good. First of all, consider the consequences before you say yes or no. And whenever you say yes, there's going to be a consequence. Stephen Covey said, while we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You and I, we all know people, right, who have said yes to things that you know they should have said no to, and the consequence was just around the corner. Other people could see it, and God refers to that as being a simpleton. Pretty powerful. And so, considering the consequences before we say yes or no.
That was recorded live with my team here as I was recording the lesson for this month of November on the topic of the power of yes and no. Both words have great power. Two one-syllable words that can change your life, especially if you use them out of order. When you say yes, when you mean no, or vice versa. So members only, just a moment, I want to talk to members. If you're a member, and a member is a person who supports the ministry, listener-supported ministry every month. Your faithful support obviously is making a difference. Just to you for a moment, I want you to know that your teaching is on its way, maybe already in your home or at your home, but it's coming again this month, a brand new teaching, this one on the power of yes or no. And now let me turn to those of you who are not standing with us, supporting the ministry. You are welcome to become part of the team here, the membership team. Let me send you this teaching for this month and a brand new topic each month to encourage you where you are. It'll come right to your home. It's our gift to you as you support the ministry. Just today, go online. I'll give you the address in a moment. And for everyone who calls or goes online and shares a generous gift to Intentional Living today, we want to send you a neat little book for Christmas called Made to Thrive at Christmas with poems and scripture and verses and quotes and things you can just read and share and smile and feel encouraged during this Christmas season. That's our gift to you as well. Information available online at theintentionallife.com. That's our web address, theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate during West Coast business hours. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717. And when you're there, press number 4, and it'll take you right to one of our friendly staff. Because that button only goes to friendly staff. It says, friendly staff, answer this phone, okay? But anyway, thank you for standing with us. God bless you. And you know what? We're going to see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.